and Yurko.
Hello there.
Weekdays, noon to 2, on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
The NBA is pretty close to a comeback here. At least it sure feels that way. It's Carmen and Yurko. Hope everyone's having a good day. Check us out on Twitch, twitch.tv, search ESPN 1000 Chicago. We were reading to you a little earlier in the show from Dave McMenamin's article at ESPN.com about teams trying to figure out, the higher seeded team trying to figure out how they can recoup some of their home court advantage, which is going to be lost with the NBA playing at a neutral site as they're going to finish out this season, it looks like, in Orlando. And home court advantage in the NBA, as we've discussed over the years, has been very significant historically. You get about a 60% win clip in the regular season at home. It's about 64%, even more so in the postseason. So what can these higher seed teams do, and how is this all going to look? Dave McMenamin joins us now on ESPN 1000 to talk about it. He's in Los Angeles. Dave, how are you?
I'm doing okay, fellas. It's been almost surreal that all the news are coming out today, even though there's been a slow trickle the last couple of weeks about the NBA returning to play, and now that it was almost officially here, I guess we have to wait about 24 more hours before the vote happens.
Yeah.
But it's interesting shifting back into that gear of we're actually going to get games when it was uncertain for so long.
What kind of language is there in this plan, or it just maybe within the owners' minds, that there could at some point be fans in attendance in these games? Is that a possibility at all, Dave?
Not in the story that I wrote. I have had conversations with people around the league who wondered.
Yeah.
If at some point, if the medicine changes, or we learn more information, or things are going well and we have testing available for potential fans and we could socially distance them in the stands. Those questions are being asked, but to my knowledge, there has been nothing that has been proposed or voted on or anything along those lines, because they just know that the public health risk, while maybe we've learned more about how to mitigate this virus, it still exists, and there's all sorts of problems that brings up. Caring about the well-being of your fans, paramount, but all sorts of legal problems beyond that.
From everything you know about covering this league and the people that you have talked to, and because you were specifically writing about some of the home court advantage stuff, what kind of a disadvantage do these teams feel like they're going to have, or what are they losing? Maybe I shouldn't say disadvantage, but what does a team like Milwaukee, what does a team like either of the LA teams feel like it is truly losing in this plan?
Yeah, I mean, I think this was kind of born out of the last several weeks. There was so much talk about what the bottom of the playoff picture would look like. How many teams were you going to invite to the bubble? Are we going to do in a play-in tournament? And so there was so much discussion about teams 16 through 22 or 16 through 30. And some of the teams at the top were like, well, okay, we understand we needed to figure that out to return to play, but can we pay some attention to the teams that have performed well in this league all season long, that were carrying the mantle for this league, that were the tastemakers for fans, that were featuring some of the best players that the league markets all over the world? And there was internal discussions going on amongst these teams, and then some of the teams who could very well end up trying to beat each other in the playoffs a couple months from now, they were like, in this moment, let's be allies, let's share our thoughts and figure out which are some of the best ones, so we can try to put together a proposal to bring to the NBA.
You had 5 bullet points. Which, if any of those, do you think could actually come to fruition?
Well, so 3 of them would involve Board of Governor votes. Now, the other 2, and those 3 are: the higher seeded team gets the ball to start the second, third, and fourth quarters. The higher seeded team gets an extra coaches challenge. and the higher seeded team can designate a player to get to be allowed to get 7 fouls before fouling out rather than 6. All those would have to be first kind of examined by the competition committee. Competition committee at that point would recommend to the Board of Governors whether they should vote on it or not. Getting that recommendation can help its chances of going through, but when you think about this, you're going to need a 2/3 vote of the Board of Governors. So they need 20 teams to support that. Mm-hmm. And, the majority of those teams will be,
affected negatively.
They'll be underdogs.
It's kind of getting the have-nots to help the have.
Right.
And so in a competitive league like the NBA, I don't really have much confidence that any of those three will go through. But the other two are a little bit more outside the box. One would be bringing down the home court. For the higher seeded team, so they get to play on the court that they have a feel and comfort with, which sounds like really a big operation, but it's not that absurd. Mm-hmm. The NBA puts on exhibition games in non-NBA markets, and they bring the court there sometimes. And then the other one would be, and this one I think is fun, and it's a little petty, which I don't know. I think that sports sometimes misses that with everybody being buddy-buddy. So, they would have the teams, based on their record, get first dibs of which hotel they want to stay at down in Orlando in the Disneyland or Disney World Resort.
It's going to be the fight for the Grand Floridian. That's what we were saying before. The Bucks get the Grand Floridian. That's it, baby.
Food's good there, too.
That's where they're staying. Dave McMenamin's our guest. He covers the NBA for ESPN.com. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. How do you think this is going to be covered, by the way, Dave, as a reporter? I mean, what are the rules and regulations going to be about covering this action when the league gets down there for that?
I'm just very curious. Many questions, because you hear things about teams being potentially limited on their traveling party. When they would normally travel 50 people, there's some talk about, I think at one point the number they were looking at was 35. And so that means certain trainers and assistant coaches won't be making the trip. And so, you would imagine that would carry over to the media as well, and how many reporters they'll allow in the bubble. I would love to be there if my bosses assigned me to do it, and we're told by the NBA that they will be allowing reporters in. But I recognize over the last couple months, as we've been reporting on this story, it's a lower priority moment, a lower priority item, and we still have close to 7 weeks before any games will be played in Orlando. So I'm sure that will be brought up and figured out, just not in this moment.
Why so long?
Yeah, how come 7 weeks still? Just logistics?
Well, I think there's two factors here. One, the Bundesliga in Germany that's been playing soccer has been hit by a rash of serious injuries once they came back from their hiatus, and the league is very cognizant of that. You have a league that employs many experts in the field of sports science, and that faction of the league has had a growing voice over the last 5-10 years, and you've seen that play out in managing minutes and load management and all those terms that some people don't care for, and quite frankly I'm not a huge fan of it either, but when you're making these multi-million dollar investments in your players, I understand why that's a factor. So they want to have basically as long of a training camp as they can to assure that those players' bodies are in the best possible shape to return. And then there's the quarantine factor. So, you have players out of market right now. Once this thing becomes official, the teams will be allowed to officially, tell their players that under the terms of your contract, we need you back for practice. And so you got to give them some time for those players to actually get back. And then once they get back, they got to quarantine for 2 weeks before they can start practicing. And then when they get down to Orlando, they got to quarantine for 2 weeks before they can start playing games. So you had to build in that extra amount of time. I mean, obviously, you'd love the momentum of a June 3rd, June 4th, being able to say, hey, we're playing games in a month. But, you know, that's just the reality of the situation.
Some owners have been very outspoken about changing the league's calendar anyway. Mark Cuban has for years. Mark Cuban was on with us a couple of months ago and talked about it again. Will this lead to that, or will the league go back, you know, after obviously next season, which is going to have to start later, of course, will things kind of go back to normal, or is this going to precipitate some sort of change in the league calendar?
Well, most of the people I've spoken to about this, and no one knows for sure in this moment, but just because of the financial reality of where the league stands right now, there will be a push to play as many games possible next season, not make it a shortened season.
Okay.
So if you're going to play 82, it's bleeding way past June, like the season normally ends, if it's starting in December. I mean, you're ending a season in August or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would make you believe that they're not going to have a shortened off season going into the 21-22 season. They'll have a full off season. So I think we're moving towards this being the full-time parameters of the schedule. We'll be going December to August, here on out until the next whatever disrupts the league schedule, whether that be a work stoppage or whether that be, of course, we don't want something like we've gone through with COVID-19.
Dave, great stuff. We appreciate the update. And stay safe, all right?
All right, thanks, folks.
All right, that's Dave McMenamin at McTen on Twitter. Make sure you follow him. Let's go to Joe in Portage on ESPN 1000. Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. Hey, I just wanted to talk to you about that comment about borrowing money that the Rickers were doing. Can you confirm, were you talking about how you're kind of, you seem like you're frustrated that they were more investing into borrowing money for the real estate around Wrigley Field instead of the players? Is that right, or am I?
No, they've never been afraid to borrow to go ahead and invest around the
but
ballpark.
They're reluctant to do it the other way.
Okay.
And it could it could be sound business practice. I don't know.
Yeah. But and that's exactly what it is, because if you think about it, Wrigley Field is only occupied 81 games a season, and you'll have a concert here or two in Wrigley. But the Hotel Zachary is open all year round.
Sure,
right?
It's an asset that appreciates. Athletes do not. This is why they're very good at convincing everyone, don't listen to the athletes and blame them.
Which is the other debate we had, Joe, was trying to figure out exactly what is game day revenue for 81 dates and what is year-round revenue over there, because we wouldn't include year-round revenue except for those 81 days.
They're billionaires for a reason, Joe. I get it. You're right. They're smart. Yeah. They're smart when it comes to business. I get it.
Yeah, I'm sure that they did their homework in the investment with their marketing research, saying, hey, is this profitable throughout the year?
You're right.
You know, if there's no baseball going on in the offseason. So,
sure. And all the other property, Joe, you're absolutely right. That's why they've done it. Yeah, but I'm not going to cry. I can't listen to them cry poor then. That's what I don't like. I'm sorry.
Ricketts telling me what he's – I don't care.
I
don't care about Tom Ricketts' financial problems.
Tom's a smart, savvy businessman who's made a lot of money. I get it. His he's helped contribute to the quadrupling of his franchise because he's a smart businessman. These are trying times, and I don't like the fact that they're so quick to say, no, players have to do this because we don't have the money. They have to bail us out. That's what I don't like. They could figure it out if they wanted. They can operate at a loss for a year if they wanted to. They could, in a one-off situation, even though they'd be borrowing for what you would definitely term a depreciable asset, which isn't smart business. I don't think they teach that at Northwestern or at Harvard.
I wouldn't guess.
I'm guessing they don't.
I wouldn't guess, but only the Lord knows what they're
teaching
at Harvard.
It's like borrowing for the car. The minute you drive the car off the lot, it's not worth as much. Yeah. What are we borrowing money for to get the car?
I don't get it.
You know, that's not smart business either.
Buy a car that's 10 years old.
But in a one-off, let's see, you have to, so you might have to do something drastic. That's what I'm saying. And the long-term value of their franchises are not going to go down. They're simply not going to go down. And I don't like hearing them cry poor that, oh no, woe is us. Blame the players. They're the ones who have to bail us out. Now they don't want to. 312-332-3776 is the number. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Pleased to meet you. Hope you guessed my name.
This is such an interesting remix of a great song. I don't think I'd ever heard it until Chris played it last week for the first time. It's Carmen and Yurko. Hope you're having a good day. Follow us on Twitter, at Yurko64. For the good kid, I'm at Carmen DeFalco. Dave McMenamin was just on with us. He had mentioned that the league is cognizant of what's happening in the Bundesliga, that there has been a rash of injuries. So I was reading, this is from, it's perhaps a daily in Europe that you know, Yurko, because you watch a lot of soccer, you follow a lot, Marca.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm getting this
out
from.
Spain,
out of Spain. That's right, Yurko, exactly. There were 14 injuries in Germany's top two tiers over the weekend as the Bundesliga and Bundesliga 2 returned to action. Bundesliga was Europe's first major league to resume their season during the coronavirus pandemic after a two-month hiatus. According to the data that Marca has access to, 12 of the injuries came in the Bundesliga 2, were in the Bundesliga 2. Borussia Dortmund and Hoffenheim were the worst affected. During the Bundesliga's preseason, quote-unquote, ahead of the return to action, 62% of the injuries, or 18 out of 29 in total, were muscular injuries, as they see
it. Muscle-related.
Yep, concerns over the amount of muscular problems that could be encountered having been out for a period of 2 to 3 months. It's thought that quicker players, are these are EPL players, Eden Hazard, is he an EPL player here?
Eden Hazard plays for Real Madrid now.
Oh, he plays in Spain.
Used to play with Chelsea.
Okay, this is a Spanish daily, so they're writing about La Liga's return, okay.
And Eden Hazard has been gone for an extended period of time. He hasn't played.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's been injured himself.
They're right. It's thought that quicker players like Eden Hazard and Naki Williams, I hope I'm saying that right, and Vinicius Jr.,
yeah, Vinicius, the Brazilian.
The Brazilian.
Yeah.
That sounds like a Brazilian.
Plays for Real Madrid. Yeah.
Will be more susceptible to these types of injuries, although younger players tend to recover quicker from muscular injury.
It's very much is true, yes.
So.
How do you get better at running?
By running.
That's the way it works. How do you condition, muscular condition
by
a muscle? By utilizing it, by working it, yes. Pulled muscles, like always, whenever you go to training camps, muscular injuries are always the first ones that rear their ugly head.
That's true.
What you want to avoid is ACL injuries, major high ankle sprains. Those types of injuries is what you really want to, you know, in soccer, you don't have a lot of shoulder injuries. But you'd want to avoid those major leg injuries. They have a big adductor injury, like the hip adductor that runs down into your thigh. Those injuries happen a lot in soccer, and that's what you want to avoid.
Just from all the
running. Some of that comes with conditional fatigue. And then you exert, and now all of a sudden you have yourself an issue. So are they concerned? Yes. They're also, it's a different type of running. Is it not?
Sure. Oh, in soccer,
Yeah, it's kind of
unique.
It's a different type of running. So
you're covering,
I don't know how much
distances.
You get a crossover. And I would caution you, Marca, back in 2012, named Luka Modric is the worst signing by any Spanish league team out there.
I disregard everything it says.
Okay. And
did
then
they
by
really?
The, yes, they did. Oh. Yes, they did.
Boy, they look
the worst
foolish.
Signing of the year. Well, and he had struggled to gain footing in Spain with Real Madrid, but toward the second half of the year and then the Champions League game against Manchester United, where he ended up scoring a goal, then it all flipped for him and it all turned around for him and everybody was happy.
Yurk, as prognosticators, we all make mistakes, let's face it.
Yeah.
I thought Tyrus Thomas was a good draft.
Understand why.
It happens,
I thought
Yurko.
Jonathan Quinn was going to lead the Bears to the playoffs. We all make mistakes. They're wonderful little mistakes. Yeah, we're like, yes, this is it. This is time. I'm going to venture out onto this limb, and I'm going to make this statement, and then the limb cracks, and all we're trying to do is not hit the ground with our head. That's
We've all had big misses. So maybe that's why these teams are going to roll it out a lot more slowly. I don't know that in the NBA's case it's got much to do with fans in the stands. It just seems like that's not going to happen this year, that instead you're talking about 2-week quarantine to get back practicing, and then everybody travels there, and then you got to quarantine for 2 weeks again, and then you know, what do you start doing as a team again just to get everybody up to speed? And then how do you start this season? And they've laid out their timeline. It's still, you know, weeks and weeks away if it does happen, and we all hope it does. Same with the NHL. Maybe they're operating under the same parameters or they're worried about some of the same things that they've got to quarantine. They got to get everybody back to the States. These players had scattered. They're in Europe. They're in Canada. Everybody's got to come back. Are they going to have a tough time getting back? They got to quarantine, get on the ice, get to these hub cities potentially, quarantine again. So that's why they come back. They announce, hey, yeah, we're going to do this. We're going to come back. We'll see you on August 1st. And it's like, whoa, wait, what? August 1st? It might have nothing to do with hoping that they can get fans in the stands. It just could be the normal timeline. The one sport that is going to
concern themselves with the potential fans in the stands, to me, would be baseball and football. Those two
outdoor
is where
sports.
It could happen. The outdoor sports, absolutely, Yerk, where, you know, their seasons haven't even started. Those are the two.
What if you get this situation? You're in Houston, right? The game is played outdoors. The roof is open. It starts to rain. They close it. Do you clear the stadium?
I don't know.
Just, it's only a handful of facilities that could ever happen at. So right. That's why I bring that one up.
Dallas, right? I guess yeah. Dallas could happen, right? Doesn't the roof close in Dallas?
No, I think Dallas
actually,
is
Dallas
closed.
Has just got like the old stadium, right?
Right, Dallas is shut.
Yeah, they can open like the skyline.
I'm talking about the Houston Astros. I'm not talking about
the Reliant Stadium. You're talking about the Astros. I got
I'm not talking about Reliant Stadium.
Yeah,
I'm
or
talking
like Minute about, Maid.
Yeah, Minute Maid. Or up in Milwaukee. Yeah, that stadium can open up,
Minute Maid,
too.
Miller Park. Excuse
Miller
me.
Miller Park.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's what I'm here for.
My head was spinning. Yeah, I got you.
So, you know, what do you do in that situation? You got 20,000 fans sitting in the seats. Everybody's social distancing. Everybody's got masks on. Jeez. And then all of a sudden you've got to close the place up and it becomes an indoor facility. A lot of things need to be thought about.
Yeah, man.
Yesterday there was a report out of Miami that somebody had worked for Miami and said they are preparing for one thing only. Football with everyone.
How can that be? Really?
Football with everyone. Ron DeSantis. He's the governor of Florida.
The governor, yeah.
If he says you can have fans sitting in that stadium, then you can have fans sitting in that stadium.
I know.
And what's their cold and flu season down there?
I don't know.
When does it begin? When does it end?
These are things that we've never really paid much attention to until now. Good question.
I'm here.
What the hell do I care about the Florida cold and flu season for? Under normal circumstances, I've never once thought, I wonder what the flu season's like in Florida. You know, Sylvia was asking this the other day, too. Like, what are the things? We talked about it in Crosstalk yesterday. Like, what are the things you'd be more willing to do and maybe you'll wait? Like, I don't go to a lot of games anymore, especially football. I much prefer to watch football at home. I have no interest unless we go on the road as a group of friends to see the Bears play in a different city. Just me personally, I have zero interest in going to Soldier Field. I want to watch football from my couch. I want to watch all the games. I want to be connected to my internet. Not that you're not on your phone, I guess, these days, but, you know.
You'd be less likely to go to a sporting event now.
Without question. And not necessarily because I'm afraid. It's just because I don't go a lot anyway. And if I am looking to mitigate the risk as best I can, I don't mind staying away. I got
to
be honest.
I've gone to more football games in the last 2 years than I have in a long time. Yeah, and I'm talking, I've been to games in Nashville.
It seems like you have, yeah.
Yeah, Nashville against the Houston Texans I saw 2 years ago. It was a good game.
You also, as a former player, you've been at some alumni weekends where you go in Green Bay and in Jacksonville.
Green Bay, Jacksonville, I've been down to. I've been to Chicago. I've been to the Rams game a couple of years ago I was at. I was at the New England Patriots game sitting right behind the Patriots bench.
Last year, yeah.
I was having a ball.
I mean, I know what you're going to say. I mean, like.
The
idea that, you know, Miami's saying, oh, we're going to fill the stadium. I don't know. Is that really a good idea? Would you go in November? If the stadium had 80,000 people in it?
Here's a very real possibility.
I don't know that I would.
I've got buddies that are Tom Brady fans. Yeah. They, before all the craziness started, you know, they told me when there was a possibility he might go elsewhere, we're going to Tampa. Guys got houses there. They've got this there. We're going to Tampa. We're going to see the Buccaneers. We're going to see Brady play. Hey, that's the truth. They want to go in September.
You can see him play here if they let fans in.
Yeah. Well, the island, and you got to be realistic. And I'm not offering up critique or anything like that. You offer up, in a warmer temperate climate, there's a better chance of having things happen than there would be up here where come October, you know, in November, your cold and flu season comes back around and your second wave of COVID is probably going to come down the pipe.
Yeah, I would be interested to see, like, what does the graph look like in Florida in a normal year for cold and flu, you know, for flu, for the flu virus in particular. I mean, and I'm sure you can get that information on the internet. Everything's on the internet these days.
I don't know how
accurate it is, you know, but it's there.
So if I'm willing to go someplace, I'd rather be willing to go south. I've already told you the next time I'm really traveling that I know
Pinehurst.
It's already booked. I'm going to Pinehurst.
Yeah, you'll be golfing, too. I mean, you know, you do feel like you can
kind of outside.
Any way you could socially distance while doing a sport or enjoying a sport, it's in the golf course, really.
Yes.
I mean, let's face it.
Yeah, my next sporting event I probably will attend, if they allow people to attend, is the BMW.
The BMW, yes. That's an interesting one, because I was thinking about that, too. Like, I'd like to take my son maybe to one of those days if they allow fans in.
Sure.
But you do feel a lot safer out in the open air,
sure
though.
You do.
I mean, you could very easily distance. So are you in a hurry to go back to a sporting event if we're allowed in at some point this year? Let us know. 312-332-3776. That's the number. We'll be right back.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Play some Drew Brees sound for you in just a couple of seconds here. In light of everything that's happened in the last week or so, Vince is in Tinley Park on the south side with Carmen and Yurko. Hey, Vince.
Hey, how's it going, Carm?
Okay.
Hey, I'd probably have to agree with you about going to Soldier Field, but where I have a difference of opinion is probably going to White Sox Park, only because, you know, you watch a few innings, but then it's all about the experience, walking the concourse and, you know, all the food and stuff like that.
Yeah. I could see myself, Vince, I have a hard time thinking just this year that there are going to be fans anyway. But let's say they do. Let's say we get to a point where they're playing baseball in August and the White Sox are allowed to fill a third of their stadium or half of their stadium. And somebody said, hey, do you want to go to the White Sox game? I mean, I wouldn't necessarily turn that down just because. I agree with you there, Vince. I mean, I've got my opinions on football just because I'd rather be at home. And I don't know if that I don't like sitting in a stadium with 60,000 people. I'd a smaller venue, for me, I don't know, I'm okay with. And, you know, the easy joke for all of us White Sox fans is it's family and friends anyway. But that's about to change, Vince.
Yeah, for sure. I had a 20-game season package, and I haven't heard anything about, you know, refunds or anything like that.
Did they?
Hopefully it didn't refund me.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. I mean, look.
Don't hold your breath.
Did you have games in April or in May and June?
Yeah, I've missed quite a few already.
Okay. Well, I mean, at some point, they've got to update you guys on how you're going to. Well, I mean,
what they'll tell you is they'll give you a credit for next year's so you could buy more seats next year.
But don't they have to at least offer the refund? I would think they'd have to. You haven't heard anything about a refund for those tickets, Vince?
No, I haven't got an email or anything like that.
That's surprising.
You would think. I love that. You would think that
Vince,
they would.
Thanks, buddy. Oaxaca, I mean, geez.
You would think that they would.
I thought that's what we heard most teams are doing, that, yeah, they're going to push you to, hey, roll it over to next year. But that they'd have to offer you your money back on a ticket that you didn't use? What?
Well,
on a game
theory,
that wasn't played?
In theory, I guess their argument would be that you paid for a product, you paid for something, you were going to watch the product, it was taken away from you, so we're going to allow you the chance to use that money to spend it again next year. Because you've already made the commitment to do it.
I might make some calls on that.
Why don't you make a call and see how that is. But isn't that a funny little angle that they would have there?
Yeah. Manny's in Glenview. What's up, Manny?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So the one event of the year that I really look forward to is at the end of May, the Indianapolis 500. And this year they moved it back to Sunday, August the 23rd.
Yeah.
And I will move heaven and earth to get to that race. I will do whatever it takes. But what concerns me is it's 300,000 people. There's no social distancing there. In my seats, I'm on top of everybody else. As late as a few years ago, you could smoke in the stands if you wanted to. So I don't know what's going to happen. Nobody said anything.
I don't know either. Yeah, I mean, if they run the race, will there be fans? Will it be a limited number? How do you keep your ticket? Do they do a lottery to decide which fans' tickets are good? I mean, do they put people on the infield at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, too? Is that right?
It hasn't been as crowded on the infield.
It's a big deal.
Okay, yeah, because I figured that's how you're going to get all those people in there. Manny, thanks.
Snake Pit is where people have died before, too.
What's the Snake Pit?
Snake Pit is down in the area, I think coming out of 4.
So, if there's a crash, you mean?
You used to have some motorcycle gangs control the Snake Pit area down there. So, yeah. Look up Snake Pit, Indianapolis 500, and things that have happened.
I've never done the Indy 500. We were supposed to go in May.
In college, I went there.
Did you?
We had a ball.
We were supposed to go for Speed Week, right, Yurk?
Yes, we were.
In May?
We're going for Fast Friday.
Fast Friday.
We're still going to Fast Friday.
We are
going
to go to Fast Friday.
Still there, Carm.
And it's the Friday before the race?
I think it's Fast Friday is either the Friday before the race or the previous Friday.
Okay. It kicks off the whole thing, right? And so
I don't know if it's the 21st or if it's the 14th.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
We'll figure it out.
We'll find out.
You know, they've redone the system, so.
The race for now is scheduled, for the 23rd of August. I want to play this Drew Brees soundbite here. This is Brees' thoughts on players taking a knee this season, if he thinks it'll happen more because of everything that's going on in the country now? This is Breeze on Yahoo.
Well, I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country. Let me just tell you what I see or what I feel when the national anthem is played and when I look at the flag of the United States. I envision my two grandfathers who fought for this country during World War II, one in the Army and one in the Marine Corps, both risking their lives to protect our country and to try to make our country and this world a better place. So every time I stand with my hand over my heart, looking at that flag and singing the national anthem, that's what I think about. And in many cases, it brings me to tears, thinking about all that has been sacrificed, not just those in the military, but for that matter, those throughout the civil rights movements of the 60s and everyone and all that has been endured by so many people up until this point. And is everything right with our country right now? No, it's not. We still have a long way to go. But I think what you do by standing there and showing respect to the flag with your hand over your heart is it shows unity. It shows that we are all in this together. We can all do better, and that we are all part of the solution.
So I living in America, Drew Brees can do whatever he wants. He wants to stand for the national anthem, stand for the national anthem. I support Drew Brees' decision to stand for the national anthem because that's what he chooses. I support Colin Kaepernick's decision to kneel because this is a free country, and that is a very peaceful protest. Both my grandfathers also fought during World War II, like Drew Brees's. My mom's dad fought in Italy against the fascists. My dad's dad was in the United States Army. My grandfather was awarded a Purple Heart with a cluster. He was wounded twice. I watched at my grandfather's funeral two gentlemen from the Army fold up the American flag and hand it to my dad and to my aunt. So I, too, have great appreciation for what they did. For anybody that has served in the past, that anybody that serves now, great appreciation. My dad also served in the United States Marine Corps, and I fully support Colin Kaepernick's decision to take a knee if he feels like it means something and it can affect something in a positive way, and anybody else's. So that's my side of it. Drew Brees wants to stand, stand. I choose to stand, too, during the national anthem. You don't want to? That's your right in this country, and that's what makes this country great, and that's what I would say. In response to that, that's all I have. Like Forrest Gump, Yurko.
That's all I have,
to say about the war in Vietnam. Yeah.
And when I played, I stood all the time.
And I stand as well.
I will stand forever.
I've often thought, we've had this discussion in the past, like, why don't we stand at home when we're watching the game and it comes on? And I'm like, should I get up and stand? We only stand in the building. Maybe I should stand at home, too. We've had that conversation in the past. Why is it only when we're there? If you want to stand, get up and stand. Mike's, our guy's in Italy.
I got the wine. Speaking, I haven't tried it yet.
Speaking of service members, Mike serves our country. Mike's stationed over in Italy.
In Italia.
He sent us wine. Oh. It's funny. Mike probably called the first time, like right as things were about to get crazy, like in February in Italy. Remember? He sent us wine. We said we were going to send him some swag from the station. We were all going to assign it, and we will. And Mike wants to welcome Yurko back to the studio. What's up, buddy?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
What's up, Mike?
Hey, everything is good. Yurko, welcome back. I see that it took a riot to get you back into the city of Chicago. You came in like Batman.
Calming the nerves. That's what I like.
He's our superhero, buddy.
Calm the nerves.
Yeah. So, hey, I was just calling to see if you had tried the wine.
Not as of yet. I just got the bottles on Monday. I'm waiting. I literally just got here, and Monday I took it home, so I have yet to crack one open.
I've had two of the three. Mike, I've had two of the three. They're delicious.
Yeah. Of course, Carm's had them for 2 months.
There should be more to come. The restrictions over here are easing up a little bit more, little by little, so hopefully we can get out. And I enjoy sending you guys stuff.
Now that we're back, too, Waddle's going to be back in a couple weeks. Once Waddle's in here, he lives close to Sylvie, we'll get him to get like a shirt or something up to Sylvie that we'll all sign, and we're going to send you some stuff, Mike.
Real
we promise,
swag.
All right? Randy's got your address over there, right, Mike?
But some pies, man.
Yes, yeah, he's got it. He's got all my stuff.
All right, we got.
I appreciate you guys. You guys have a good one. Be safe and all that good stuff. All right, nothing but good vibes to the city of Chicago.
Thank you, Mike. Mikey. Love you, buddy. That's our guy. Mike's in the Army and he's stationed in Italy. And yeah, we are. are going to be sending him a nice care package.
Might have to crack a bottle in tonight, you know?
It's delicious. I've had two of them.
I was going to get some Vial. All reds, I'm assuming? All reds?
They're all Valpolicella, yes.
Valpolicella. There's a bigger bottle there. I'm trying to...
No. They're all 750s.
Well, you know, one's a bigger bottle, taller, maybe a little thinner.
Maybe, but it's
I'll
still
take a look at it. Yeah.
We are not... I don't think, like, the... You know, you can't send, like, 1-800-LUDA-GOA out of the country. I think it's continental United States only. Can you?
I'll check. I just sent it to Andy Reid.
We just sent some to Coach Reid.
Did we? Nice.
Yes, we did. We sent some to Sean Payton a couple months ago.
Did we never send something to Scandinavia and the subcontinent?
I don't think so.
Have we ever done that?
I'm not sure about that, Yuri.
Okay. I think we could send things to Europe, guys. I mean, this is what? If Jeff Bezos can send stuff all over the world, why can't we?
Yeah, I don't know if they do.
Instead of having a defeatist attitude, why don't we just find a way to make it happen?
Now, I worked for Malnati's 20 years ago, but at the time, it was continental United States only. Maybe that's changed. Yeah. Now they got a whole commissary kitchen that makes those. When I worked there, each restaurant was assigned every week a certain number
of pies
you had to make for the 1-800-LUDA-GO program. This is like just getting to mid-90s. It's just getting off the ground. And now they got a whole huge operation. They got their own kitchen where they do it all now. Real quick, Jim's in Beverly because he's a White Sox ticket holder. Jim, what have you experienced and heard about games that haven't been played in April, May, and June?
Yeah, and guilty as charged on the White Sox thing, 75, so all my life. I've got a 20-game package as well, and I talk to my ticket rep probably every 10 days or so, and she's indicated that not to worry about refunds, but as you guys explained, that they'd prefer that you use it as a credit toward next year, and so this is, you know, really kind of a bummer. Looking forward to the improvement we anticipated on the squad. So,
I know. But she expressed to you, Jim, that there will be a refund if that's what you so choose.
At some point. Again, they haven't laid out the whole deal, but for myself, this season's shot anyway, so... Yeah. It's like, even though I'm not getting interest on the freaking thing.
Right, I know. That'd be nice. I know.
But I'm fine with it. You know, who could have anticipated this? As a matter of fact, I was looking forward to the season, and then they humbled me. They were going to recognize me as a hero of the game on this past Saturday. So that ship sailed. And
Can they make it up next year?
I'm sure they will. That's one. They've really been fan friendly for a long time. I'm confident that all this will pass. For me, I was a baseball official for over 50 years and retired when I was 70, and just a baseball geek. But I wish they just pull the plug on it now.
No, I hope I don't hope that. Jim, thanks, buddy.
And there you go, Jimmy.
I hope it comes back. I do. I'd like to see, even if it's 60-70 games, hey, it gives my White Sox a better chance anyway. I'd like to see them play somewhat of a season this year.
Real quickly before we go to break, someone from the White Sox did call and say that March, April, and May have been completely refunded.
Yeah, so, that's it. I would talk to the caller.
Talked to all season ticket holders about this. They said, and they're going month to month now.
Yeah,
the rest of the season.
I got to come on. I sort of heard that back in March. I had talked to someone at the White Sox, and they said that they already had their plan in place. Now, at the time, MLB didn't want teams because there was still so much uncertainty. Not March, April. This would have been into April when the season would have started. They didn't want teams team by team. They didn't want them to start refunding money just yet. They wanted to do it sort of in a unified way or have some decision on what the season was going to look like. And they were worried that some teams were going to have a cash flow problem. And that's why they didn't want teams to just start offering up the refunds. But that was always the plan, that, yes, they encourage you to push it to next year, but you could certainly get your money back for missed games. And I would think that all teams are going to do the same thing. They still, here we are in June 3rd, and they still don't know what the hell's going to happen with the season. It's Carmen and Yurko.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN _ Chicago.
Hey, it's
to Whiskey Wednesday, Yurko. I'll have a review up on Twitter later tonight.
Something you got from Binny's last week, maybe?
No, I did something that I got from Binny's last week. Last week, I did their one of their single barrel picks from Wilderness Trail. Tonight, it's going to be something a little different. By the way, a shout out to all of our friends at Binny's. You know, they were hit, a bunch of the stores were hit pretty hard, like a lot of liquor stores and things like that. Our friends at Bub City, too, had some damage, nothing too major, but some damage done to the store, to the restaurant here on Clark Street.
Yeah,
in River North, the one downtown. And anybody that suffered it.
400 North
the last
Clark right
days.
There.
Yeah, look at you know the address.
Yeah.
You know, we wish all the people with small businesses and stuff like that all the best. Is that if you had property that was damaged through all the craziness, I'm so glad that they got the Joker, pun intended, right, Yurk, that started the fire down here on the cop car right in front of us.
What's the man's name? O'Malley, something like that.
I don't know.
I don't want to misquote him.
He looked like a real winner. Let me tell you, jeez,
that was my guy's police car.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I went to high school with him.
You went to high school with who?
Darren Easterday. He's in the first precinct here.
And so what? He's trying to control the crowd, trying to have his cars parked there. He's out of the car, and this jackass lights it on fire.
Initially, this is kind of like the epicenter on Saturday night, and there were about 50 officers here. They quickly were outnumbered. Mm. And then, you know, at some point, you're trying to maintain peace, and then it just didn't, you know, that point, the energy of the crowd and whatever troublemakers were there. Got everybody stirred up a little bit, and the next thing you know, we had a little bit of chaos down here. And that was his police car parked out in front of the WIT that went up in flames.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, like Ravi was talking to us about this, Ravi Beshwal, when he joined us. I think that was on Monday when Ravi was with us.
I believe you're right.
You know, you're coming to find out more and more, and the FBI is even warning law enforcement officials all across the country that they could potentially be targets at home from these groups, these anarchist groups.
Anarchy
and
bedrock.
These people starting trouble like this it sickens you when, you know, people are trying to do some good in the world, trying to affect some sort of change. You know, you see that awful video of what happened to George Floyd, and you want to try to maybe change, and then it gets sullied and spoiled, and you've got professional anarchists. Come on, get a life.
Well, professional anarchists creating anarchy.
Sickens me, Yurko.
There's still a whole lot of looting going on, kid.
It's all sickening.
Too much thieving.
It's sickening. What the hell is Antifa? What is this?
You never heard about that?
I mean, I have a little bit.
Northwest,
but
I mean, kid. What? Emanated from Portland in the Seattle area, kid.
It gets me angry, Yurko.
Every once in a while, you got to read, Carm.
I just started a little bit.
I'm very familiar with that.
I've been reading for a long time, but I just started.
Yeah, just started reading that.
Yes. I read lots of other stuff. Mm-hmm. It's funny. I still go to we haven't had live sports. We're starting to come back now, which is kind of nice. Let's face it.
Got another NASCAR race tonight?
Yeah. Tonight there's one?
I'm asking. Do we have another
one tonight? I don't know.
I'm trying to remember what the schedule looks like. I'm still trying to, hard to believe Chicagoland Speedway canceled their race. It's usually in July, isn't it?
Yeah, it's usually July.
They canceled it, though. It's like, whoa, boy.
Well, golf starts again next week.
Yes.
Next weekend will be the first PGA Tour
Yurk,
event.
I believe next up, they are in Atlanta on Sunday.
Cookie cutter, mile and a half track.
That's one of those cookie cutter ones. Well, it's another wagering opportunity. We had a little shekel or two down for over the weekend at Bristol, so... We'll be discussing it on the Odds Couple again Friday night. Join Mike North and me from 7 to 8. That's our new time every Friday, by the way. The Odds Couple is back, and Mike and I are on every Friday night from 7 to 8.
Into next week, there is a Wednesday race, nice. Martinsville. So you'll get two
Martinsville.
Next
it's so a nice little track if you're not familiar with it.
All right.
Carm, we didn't have a chance before to do which trending.
Yeah, we did not. Because we had
some good sound we wanted to play. But before we get to that, there's a big highlight, a big memory today, one of Michael's greatest moments.
June 3rd. Let me think. It had to be a finals game, right?
It was a finals game.
All right. Game one against the Jazz in 97 when he hit the game-winning shot?
That was yesterday.
All right. It was the one-hand sway. It was the mid-air switch.
Why don't we play it?
Take those hurried shots. That's what's going to happen. The wings of the Chicago Bulls can open the game pressure, the steals, the transition game, and then Tiffin taking it to the hole. Michael following it back up again, throws it down.
Michael took 10 threes in that game, so that's game one against Portland on this day in 1992.
Seems like nothing, doesn't it?
That's what I was just going to say. Think about that. Do you know that the 10 threes that Michael took in that game were the second most three-point attempts he ever had in any playoff game in his career? The only time Michael ever had more than 10 attempts from distance in his career, I think, was the series in 86 against the Celtics when in one of the games, and I don't even think it was the game he scored 63. I think it was a different game where he took 11 threes. So the most threes Michael ever attempted in a playoff game, and what did Michael play? I mean, how many playoff games, for crying out loud? The most was 11. The only two times he was ever in double digits was 11 and then the 10 he took in game one against Portland in 92. Think about that today, Yerk, like you said. It seems like it's nothing. It's nothing.
Well, that's just it. I think about it, and I know it's nothing.
Right?
You know, and back then it was like, what's he doing? Why does he keep shooting?
Can you believe
three?
He took 10 threes? Yeah.
Karma, actually, I've got it down here, maybe more than one, but I've got it May 10th, 1990 against the Sixers. He took 11 threes.
Okay, that's the game.
And a 118-112 loss.
Okay, so that's the game. It wasn't the Celtics series. It was a game against the Sixers then. Well, there.
I was thinking 86. No one was taking that many threes in a game. Well,
what year was that?
That was 1990.
Oh, that was 1990. Okay, all right. So I was a little bit. I had that wrong. I'm sorry. Yeah, back then it was an absurd number. Now you got guys taking 20 a game. Yeah. Double that.
Not even thinking about it.
You're right.
A happy 27th birthday to Bulls star Otto Porter.
Oh yes. Did you just say Bulls star?
Bulls star. He did say Bulls star Otto Porter Jr.
I think he's being facetious. I appreciate that.
Bulls star. $27 million a year for an Otto Porter Jr.
Roughly.
What an investment.
Yeah. Roughly about his
what
age.
What an investment.
What did he play, 10 games this year? I mean, granted, we had a truncated season.
Didn't he get hurt in like the eighth game or
something like that?
Did he
was about to come back and then COVID hit, didn't it? Or did he come back for like two more games? I think he played about 10 games. Cool. Didn't he, Chris?
I don't think he ever came back. I think he started to work out.
Maybe you're right. Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, no. Good.
I don't believe he's ever on the court.
Didn't make a difference.
Lord, no, it didn't really. We're going to crosstalk with Waddle and Sylvie next. We're back in 2 minutes.